Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Well, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. We are leading in some amazingly perilous times and times of confusion, times of hurt. I spoke to a pastor recently that said he had 4 funerals in 1 week, all COVID-related. And when you think about the health side of it, and when you think about the spiritual side of anarchy and rebellion, I think if you're like me, you step back and you go, Lord, where do I begin? And a lot of times we begin by resting in the sovereignty of God and knowing that He's allowing this and He's going to bring good from it. But also we ask, how can you use me in the midst of this? And what kind of a leader should I be? And so that's what we're going to focus on today as we speak on the subject, leadership qualities for turbulent times. Leadership qualities for turbulent times. And before I begin, let me thank you for reposting these lessons, for sharing them with friends. We really appreciate the new folks that are coming in and listening to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. And it's our desire to be a blessing to you as we all labor together in this world today. Well, what are some of the leadership qualities for turbulent times? I want to begin by reading today from a passage that I think describes the times we live in. And Philippians chapter 2, and in verse number 15, the Bible says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, when you read the scriptures, they are so descriptive of the times in which we minister, right? For example, this know that perilous times shall come. In the last days, perilous times, and men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then we read here about the crooked and perverse nations of the first century. So, we recognize that the gospel has often been presented to a society and to a culture that is anti-God, confused, and crooked in its moral persuasion. And we are called to be salt and light in that world. And yet, one of the great challenges to moving the gospel forward is when leaders are not living the gospel. Leaders are not living with integrity according to the word of God. And the leadership that fails in moments like this becomes just another storyline for Satan to create confusion and for the rebels, the anarchists, to spew out hatred against the cause of Christ. And so I believe it's very important that we walk and lead with integrity and with purpose during times like this. I believe that the need for walking with biblical leadership in these days is amplified. And that's why we want to talk about some of the qualities needed in turbulent times, times when our nation seems to be crooked and perverse. How can we be different? And I want to share 5 of those with you in this episode. And then when we gather again next month, we'll share 5 more. And I hope that you'll take this as a time of admonition and encouragement. The first principle I want to speak about today is the principle of calling. The fact that all of us who are involved in ministry must possess a sense or an understanding that this is what I'm called to do. Now, I believe as we look across the panorama of ministry, and especially during the COVID era, that we're finding that there is a separation between the wheat and tares. It is interesting to me, even in a recent Barna study, that some 30, maybe 33% of millennials not only aren't in church, that's understandable, but they're not endeavoring to get fed online. And I think if you're like me, you kind of begin to parse this out and wonder, okay, where is the church going to be 6 months from now? You know, you might say, well, there's 30% of my flock that's coming and interacting and they're here when we can be. There's another 30% that are COVID concerned. But boy, there's another 20 or 30%. I'm not sure where they are. And I'll tell you what's going to make the difference besides salvation is the sense of a calling, the sense of an understanding that I am a called servant of God And I have a biblical worldview that commands me to see what's happening in this world in the light of Scripture and to respond appropriately. And the same is true of pastors, that we must have a calling that then cultivates and develops a commitment. Simply stated, where there is no calling, there is no commitment. Now, I believe that calling is upon every Christian. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Paul did not receive his calling from a Bible college or in a particular moment of man's making. It was the result of his conversion. And so all of us have a sense of calling, but especially leaders. Now think of what Paul said in Romans 1:1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." So he saw his life as separated for this gospel purpose. One of the real concerns that I have right now for the church or the family of God as a whole is that as the secularization comes upon the church, secular concepts impending so much and being so prevalent, is we find oftentimes a lack of young people saying, "Here am I, Lord, serve me." Now, as the president of a Bible college, I watch that rather fervently because we're looking for young people who feel this calling and who believe that God wants them to make a difference, not just out in the culture in the sense of their vocational lives. There is a calling, I mentioned that, on every Christian, but in the full-time sense of being separated unto the gospel. That's what Paul meant. His life was fully separated in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a layman today, a CPA, and he just said, "Where are the men of God in this generation?" Specifically, he named some names of cities that are just under siege. And I said, "I don't know. Maybe they all live in the suburbs. I don't know. I just know this, that when trouble comes to your neighborhood and your city, your people, your community leaders, they're looking for someone that has an anointing, a calling, that has a word for this hour." That's why I don't think it's time to say we're going to cancel church for 6 months or have no online services even. People are looking for God-called leaders today to provide direction. Now, great leaders display courage based on passion, not merely position. So, I mean, I know a lot of people in ministry positions, all kinds of, you know, corner offices and all kinds of education, but the calling is what makes a difference. Do you know that God has called you and placed you where you are? I'm telling you, that is critically important. If I didn't feel that I was called to be the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, I would find from the Lord where I'm supposed to be. And I'm not trying to get you to question the calling of your life or of your particular location. I'm just saying God-called men are needed in this hour. People that know that God has separated them for his gospel purpose. It's a spiritual conviction that you have. And in these turbulent times, we need leaders that have this spiritual conviction deep in their heart. That spiritual conviction then will lead them, secondly, to an emotional investment. We don't want to move from emotion to truth, but it's fine to move from truth to emotion. And when you move from the revelation of God in your heart to an emotional response, it can be the right emotion, the right kind of passion. Wiersbe said, "Capable men respond to a challenge, no matter how difficult. Lesser men enjoy filling an office, but don't plan to use it." Now, we have a lot of men today that they're in the office of the pastor or the music pastor, youth pastor, whatever, but they're not using it well. And we need today leaders who feel, "This is my calling." I was speaking to a friend of mine. He's an elected official. He's a Christian. And he was talking about everything going on. And he's had some highs and lows. But during one of his moments where he was a little higher, he said, "You know, I really believe God made me for this moment." And every one of us should feel that way. That while we don't understand all that's happening in this moment, that God has ordained that we're here and we're alive in this moment. So a calling. Now, I have a calling and you have a calling. It is a calling to evangelize. That's why when we go into our hospitals this week to give lunches to the nurses and doctors, we're not just giving lunches. We're giving gospel as well. We're giving a gospel tract. We're going to every one of our police stations in this area where I minister, 500,000 people. next week with different drinks and refreshments for them. We'll stop off at the roll call just to tell them you matter and we're praying for you. This is a part of our gospel calling. And it's not just trying to go out and redeem culture. You don't redeem culture unless you win people to Christ. And the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. But where does that begin? It begins with a man or a woman who believes it's their calling to take the gospel to this world. So I really believe these turbulent times cry out for God-called men. Men who know that this is why I'm here now. And I pray that that's something that you'll consider. Perhaps if you don't feel the passion of that calling, spend some extra time in prayer. Take some time to go back. And sometimes I'll go back to some of my old Bibles. I've got about 15 or 20 Bibles in my study. And I'll read some of the things I wrote, some of the decisions that I made, and just kind of rekindle the calling. You know, you say, well, you know, some of those were made when I was younger. They were made in a moment of passion, whatever. You know what? That's okay. Ask the Lord to restore the joy of your salvation. These times require that we have called men. The second area that I would challenge you in today and speak to you about regarding leadership qualities would be the spirit. Some might call it the attitude, but the spirit of the leader. Now, we know when we study Daniel's life that he had an excellent spirit. He was chosen because of that spirit. And I want to speak to you for just a moment about the spirit that is needed. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You've got to be the one that is expressing to your church family, to your class, to your group, that God's going to get us through this. We're not just going to go through it, we're going to grow through it. If God brought me to it, he'll bring me through it. That God is able. I think I've texted that phrase, God is able, 50 times a day lately. Because without his help, we're of all men most miserable. I think of Ephesians chapter 6 as we read concerning the armor of God. The Bible says that we're to be strong in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. It's not my might, it's his. There's a spirit that comes to a man who believes that God is providing strength. Now that spirit or that attitude becomes contagious, and we need that contagion in our lives today. I believe it was John Maxwell years ago who said, attitude determines altitude. That's very true. And I want you to recognize that as a leader in this tumultuous time, we need to have not just hype, but a biblically based spirit that says, God is able. Now, the fact is too, that while we see some of the problems in our society, if we're not careful, with our discerning spirits, we can become sarcastic and we can become overtly negative. I've been on a social media sabbatical for quite some time, and my kids and some of our staff, they tell me some of the highlights. I still post things, but sometimes you just need to unplug from the sarcasm and the combativeness, and sometimes, frankly, even that pastors have. And one of the reasons I do that is because it affects my spirit. And I've got to keep my spirit right. And I was thinking of this recently. Discernment is not for criticism. It's for intercession. Now, I feel I have a fair amount of discernment from the Lord. I can see, for example, and you see, for example, in our society right now, we can see that while there were people that had hurting hearts over social issues, that whole situation got co-opted and people got sucked into a vortex of emotion, and they were attaching themselves to causes that were either anti-family, pro-abortion, anarchist, et cetera, et cetera. I see that. I discern that. But in the midst of that, I've still got to have the attitude and the spirit so that I don't forget to care for those that have a legitimate burden, so that I don't forget to preach and rightly divide truth against that which is error. And in the midst of it, doing it all with the spirit of hope. Because if I just become a sarcastic pundit, then they're getting that on the radio and television. People need a different spirit from their Christian leaders. And we must say, Lord, give me that spirit. It needs to be a spirit of faith, I love Caleb, don't you, in the Old Testament? I want that mountain. That's why we have commenced the construction of our college office project. It's not a huge project. It's one of the smaller projects in recent years. And really, it's remodeling some modular buildings and adding some space. And they're going to be very nice offices. But to me, it was very symbolic that in the midst of COVID, we're starting something, right? And that we have a spirit that God is still able. I think it was Henry Ford who said, "I'm looking for a lot of men with an infinite capacity for not knowing what can't be done." He said, "I'm trying to find some men who aren't experts on what can't be done. I want to know what can be done." And I really believe that spirit is so important today. And I think it was President Ronald Reagan who had on his desk just that little phrase, "It can be done." So what is it that the devil's telling you can't be done? You can't evangelize? Find a way. You can't encourage people? Find a way. We've got to have that spirit. So in this moment, we need to have leaders that have a sense of calling and passion. Secondly, that have a spirit that is captivating, and a spirit that is motivating from the Lord. And then I want to just touch on this, thirdly. I believe that as we lead in these tumultuous times, we need spiritual leaders who understand their spiritual gifts. And we're not going to take time for a spiritual gift study here in this particular moment, but just think about it for a moment, if you would. Romans 12:6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith," and it goes on, it speaks about teaching and giving and ministering. But I want to focus on that phrase, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, it's vitally important during this time that people are able to be deployed according to their giftedness. I believe there's what I call a gift mix concept in the church that brings synergy spiritually, where leaders lead and where those that are preaching preach and prophesy, if you will, where teachers teach and mercy showers give mercy and givers are giving. And people need to have those outlets. So you need administrators to coordinate. You need the givers to give. For example, we have had times recently where we're ministering to our medical community. Well, that's required an administrative leader from our staff to coordinate and communicate to the entire church family so that the givers in the church family can bring in the goods, so to speak. We've had different kinds of kind bars and so forth. And then to delegate that out amongst the various medical supplies and hospitals of our area so that by utilizing all of those spiritual gifts in the body, we're meeting needs in this community. So we want to be very understanding of the fact that God has gifted the church and that it is His will, even in a time like COVID, that as leaders, we're discerning what those gifts are and we're deploying people out according to those gifts. Now, one of the problems that comes, and I'm a traditionalist, but one of the problems that comes with being traditional and very used to a particular culture is that when something like this happens, we just don't know what to do. If we can't have church at 10 and 6 and Wednesday at 7, it's like we can't even be Christians then, right? So God brings a moment like this. And it's interesting to me how God, in difficult situations in the past, allowed for breakthroughs. And we need to be looking for those breakthroughs. For example, when the bubonic plague came all across England, there were many children whose parents died. And there was a man by the name of Robert Raikes in the 1800s who determined that he would gather children together on Sunday to read to them from the Bible, to teach them how to read. And they called it Sunday school. Now, I know men today that, boy, they call fundamentals of the faith, you know, Sunday morning, sit at night, Wednesday night, wearing a tie, you know, whatever. Those are fundamentals. Those are all my preferences, by the way. But what I want you to understand is this, that sometimes God puts you in a position where you have to break out of your paradigm of ministry and even what is fundamental in that case in order to be used in a broader way. I'm thankful that God brought the Sunday school to pass, but He used a time of trial and difficulty. You study the revivals, the Welsh revival. I remember last summer visiting some of the cities of the Welsh revival. particularly Terry and I going to the town of Rose, Wales. And we began to understand that some of the revival meetings started with teenagers praying, some with women praying. Some of the revival meetings were held in the early morning before the miners went to work, others late at night after they got back from work. Some happened in the mines, others in the church buildings. The times, the places, even the educational backgrounds of the people were different. But you can't control revival in that sense. Now, what I'm saying is that in this time, God's going to give you some new ways to serve if you'll understand the times as the men of Issachar, and then if you'll understand who has what spiritual gifts in your church. And maybe a good exercise for you would be just to say, how can I encourage teachers to teach? So we've had all of our teachers teaching Zoom lessons, even to children. How can I help givers to give? And we've been looking for outlets, and we have been giving hundreds of meals and making brief visits, not going in the homes. How can I help my administrators to administrate? And so we've been planning for upcoming special days and missions conferences and events that we don't know when they will be, but we need to have the plan ready. Understand your spiritual gift and understand the gifts of those around you. And may I say this, be careful, especially if you're a staff member, that you don't become jealous of someone else's gift. Like, well, how come they get to get up and say that? And how come I have to organize this? Or how come I always have to be the one delivering the gift, or instead of the one that's making it? Be sure to find your gift and enjoy serving that gift. Ronald Reagan said, there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. We just need to appreciate the gifts that are around us. Wiersbe said, we need to enjoy these spiritual gifts humbly because after all, they are gifts. They are from the Lord. And then just praise the Lord for what's happening through those gifts. So as we think about some of the unique leadership characteristics that are needed in tumultuous times, we need called men with the right spirit who understand their gifts and understand the gifts of those within their body. And number four, we need men of character and integrity, as well as ladies with character and integrity. Now, we can see men rising up. We can see them rising up with spirit and coalescing a team around them. But we can also see Satan making a target on their back at that very moment. He wants to bring that man down. He wants to cause them to be devoured. Now, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:10, thou hast fully known my doctrine. But he also said, my manner of life. I'll tell you something that's discouraging a lot of young people in ministry today. And I don't appreciate all of the proliferation on the internet, but sometimes when there's fire, there's going to be smoke. And what I'm speaking about is the fact that we have men who can pound and thunder doctrine, but their manner of life has not been consistent. And what happens is people reject the message because of the sin in the life of the messenger. And so when there's not reporting of sin, or when there's not dealing with sin in the church, when there's the hiding of something that should have been revealed, all of that diminishes the ability of the leadership to have influence. And I've often said, I'd rather have the respect of our church family than the love of our church family. Now, I appreciate a loving church family, but you cannot lead during these tumultuous times, this crooked and perverse nation, without respect. So I would just simply give a couple of thoughts here. First, let's think about the subject of integrity, having a unibody construction, a life that is lived out for the Lord Jesus Christ with moral integrity. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1. The young men in my practical theology class memorize those chapters every few years. It'll be an assignment for the semester. Why? Because God is the one who said, if you're going to be a spiritual leader, I have requirements for you. I have family requirements. I have financial requirements. I have temperament requirements, moral requirements. And we must live with integrity. Now, a victory won at the expense of integrity is no victory at all. And I believe it's very important. Now, I can step back, and sometimes we discuss politics, and people will talk about a chink in the armor of a leader that they see, and they all have chinks. And I can say, for example, I'll say, well, I vote for the platform, not necessarily for the person. And I think there's room for that in politics. You cannot say that in God's work. You can't say, well, the church has a good statement of faith, so I just go along with that, even though the pastor's not a man of integrity. That's not how it works. So it may be that someone supports a political platform that generally is aligned with Scripture, and I hope you do. But there are not going to be pastors with influence unless they walk with integrity. And in a tumultuous day like this, it is very, very awkward to see a man whose ministry has been filled with lapses of integrity or sin trying to cry out against the culture's sin. It just doesn't work. In fact, his own heart will condemn him. So we must have character in the realm of integrity, and we must have character in the realm of our work ethic. A time like this, where there's a lot of social distancing, there's a lot of, you know, flexible hours, is a time when men in ministry can find themselves not really working the way that they did prior. Now, I'm convinced that God's people who are giving, and the churches from whence we receive compensation, that they deserve our work. And more than that, the Lord deserves it himself. So I want to encourage you, if you're going to be the leader, the spiritual leader that's needed in this tumultuous day, to have a schedule and work that schedule. Sure, it might be different. It might be some at home. It might be some at the office. It might be, but it's going to be productive, creating, writing, planning, visiting, calling, emailing, preparing. And it's so vital that we have the basic character in times like this. Remember what Paul said in Philippians, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And that's what it really is in ministry, that whether we're with people who see us or whether we're alone with the Lord, that we have the character and the integrity to do what God has called us to do. All right, I want to share a final thought with you for this episode of our Spiritual Leadership Podcast. We've talked about this matter of leading in a crooked and perverse nation through tumultuous times. It requires a God-called man with the right spirit, understanding the right gifts, living out the right life of integrity, and then fifthly, with compassion. We've got to have compassion. I mentioned a moment ago some of the situation we've seen with all of the demonstrations. And it's very easy for us to get frustrated and to want every single one of them to go to jail if they're, of course, you know, throwing chairs at windows and things of this nature. But there also has to be a place in your heart where you have compassion for the lost. Jude was fairly clear about that, of some have compassion. And I want to speak to you for a moment. The Bible says when Jesus in Matthew 9 saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because he saw them as fainting and as being scattered abroad and as sheep with no shepherd. Now, I often tell our staff the ministry is not about paperwork. It's about people work. And it's so important, even when we have these services, whether they're smaller services or outside services, that we are tuned in to those with a burden. It's important that we are not guilty of not noticing. And we don't want to be guilty of not sensing the burdens that others have. And especially right now, because we don't see folks as often, and we want to be responsive. So let's be compassionate, first of all, for the lost. Let's remember that everyone that's out there acting out against our country or whatever it is, they need the Lord. And I wonder, where has the church been in the midst of that? Where are the soul winners in the midst of the city? And maybe we're enjoying our socially distanced study times, but you know, it might be the devil's tactic to get us so socially distanced that we're not compassionately sharing truth. And I know, well, we have to be safe with COVID, but I'm telling you, there is a way that we can express compassion to the church family and to the community, and it's needed. I can't tell you how many medical professionals in our church walk in and walk out of church just with tears in their eyes. They need compassion. I can't tell you how many police officers I've spoken to that just need compassion. I think of one of our black members a few weeks ago. We went out soul winning, and he said, "Why do people hate us?" And I told him, people don't hate you. And I told him how much I loved him. Like it or understand it, I'm just telling you, that's what he felt. And he needed to know the love of God through me that day. Now, the kind of leaders that are needed during this time are compassionate leaders. And I don't even always understand how someone feels. I've learned long ago not to always say, oh, I understand this. You're not going to always understand it, but you can always show compassion during this time. And then let me say this, a compassionate leader is a forgiving leader. You know, I find too oftentimes that spiritual leaders have aught with other leaders. They'll never fellowship with them, never call them. Have you been calling anybody on the phone? Have you texted anybody to encourage them? Or only those in your little camp? Because the fact is that you can control your little camp and your environment and you're happy with your five friends. But when you grow with a spirit of compassion and when you grow with a spirit of forgiveness, you're going to get outside of that a bit. And you're going to say, Lord, I just want to be a true leader. Not a self-serving leader, but I want to lead and be used in whatever realm you have for me. And so I pray that you and I will, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, be the leaders that God has called us to be in these needy, needy times. We're going to see five more principles next month. Thank you for taking time today. I'm praying for you, and we're asking God to bless and use you mightily.